Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Disney Dining Show. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Charles Boda.
Hey there.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And Steve Porter.
Hello.
And back on the controls, our own producer, Mr. Craig Williams. All right, so Craig had the idea for a kind of a little mini-series of shows for us to do called Pick Six, where each of us, in an episode, pick our six favorite places to eat, one at each theme park, one at Disney Springs, and one at a resort. So this week will be my six favorite places to eat. I'm going to start at the Magic Kingdom. And I actually had to really think about this because there's no place at the Magic Kingdom that I'm like, oh my God, that's really where I have to eat when I'm there. I really feel, generally speaking, like the Magic Kingdom, and I hate to say this, but it's true, is the cradle of mediocrity when it comes to theme park dining.
Yeah.
There's nothing really exceptional, and there should be. It is the Magic Kingdom, for God's sakes. But being forced to pick, if there was one place to eat that I would really want to eat at, it's going to be Liberty Tree Tavern. There was a time I would never have imagined myself saying that, but been there a few times in the last year, and I always have a good experience. There's something about the atmosphere of it, that colonial feel to it. Obviously, it's in Liberty Square in the Magic Kingdom. There's that, I mean, it's ultimate comfort food with, you know, turkey and mashed potatoes and dressing and cranberry sauce, and usually fairly good. It can, you know, again, it does not rise to the level of, oh my God, I think it's overpriced for what it is. But if I have to pick one place that I actually look forward to eating, it's a toss up between this and Jungle Skipper Canteen. I just haven't been over to Jungle Skipper Canteen in a while, so I didn't feel comfortable making that my pick for the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Well, see, I like Liberty Tree. I think the one thing.
Well, now I have to change my mind. If Craig likes it, it's obviously no good.
The one hindrance to it, I would say, is that it's one of those situations where everyone has their own favorite turkey and mashed potatoes and that comfort food style. You know, like you grow up with your parents always cooking it for you, or your family's at Thanksgiving. So then when you have someone else's for the first time, even though you would think it's such a straightforward style of meal, it's never going to compare to the one that you had while you were growing up, unless this is where you always went. So I understand why a lot of people don't like it, because usually the judgment is, well, it's not as, you know, it's just, it feels microwaved. It doesn't feel as good, but.
Oh, I don't agree with that. Microwaved? Absolutely not.
If you separate it and say, well, this is a theme park, it's mass produced. It's not like they're throwing one turkey in the oven and cooking it like a Thanksgiving meal, then it actually, I think on the other end, it comes out really good. I really enjoy it.
It would be my pick as well, but I like it because I'm from Massachusetts, and when I go in there, it's the closest thing I feel like to being home in Massachusetts. The style of house is very New England.
We're all stuck in the 1700s.
Well, you know, I've been known to wear a bonnet or two dining. So
he's got buckles on just everything.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, for every reason you said, but then some, because I like that New England colonial
feeling. Yeah, but somewhere along the line, he went from buckle my shoe to lick my boot.
Yeah. So the Craig had just mentioned that people are used to their own family's Thanksgiving kind of thing, and it had never popped into my head before, but I just accidentally remembered Liberty Tree having a green bean casserole that doesn't exist, because I always had green bean casserole on Thanksgiving. I just kind of combine all of those foods in there, so they need to add a green bean casserole.
I will say, I think to Craig's point, I think that there's some truth to that. I think the only other side of that is that there's so many different options. So I love mac and cheese, but I don't actually like the mac and cheese at Liberty Tree.
You like mac and cheese?
I do. But yeah, I actually don't like the mac and cheese at Liberty Tree, but everything else is so good that it's like there's enough options there that even if there's one or two things that aren't your favorite, you just pick the other stuff.
And they changed up their pork recently too. So like that's a little bit spicier. I think that mojo pork thing that they do now. So like they have three different meat options. So even if it's not your world's favorite turkey, you've still got roast beef and pork and everything like that. So yeah.
Well, all right. So now that we're done, moving on to Epcot. This was a little bit harder because there are a number of places at Epcot that I really look forward to eating at, but if I'm going to choose my favorite, it's going to be Monsieur Paul, the more gourmet restaurant up above the French restaurant in France. This is, I mean, consistently outstanding. This is real gourmet, first-rate dining, and arguably the best theme park restaurant you will find. In theme park restaurant, you will find. I think it is far better than Carthay Circle out in California Adventure in Disneyland. I think it is arguably on par with, or maybe a step above, my choice for Hollywood Studios, which is the Hollywood Brown Derby. But it's, I think the theme of the restaurant being that it is gourmet, it is in France, I think it's easier to get a reservation there because people think, oh, like, you know, I have to dress to be there. And you don't. You can go in your sneakers and your shorts and your T-shirts. And it's a theme park restaurant. And they don't make you feel uncomfortable. I don't feel uncomfortable being dressed down there. Yet the food and the service is absolutely first rate. So that is my pick. That is my pick for Epcot as Monsieur Paul. And I do notice that most of my picks tend to be higher end. Those are the restaurants I tend to like. If I'm going to go out of my way to go to a particular restaurant in a particular location, that's what I'm going to look for. And I feel that Monsieur Paul absolutely lives up to a reputation as a signature restaurant. Now, I don't know. Have you guys?
See, no. The only place in Epcot I've never eaten at.
Never.
All
been.
Right, we got to do a group dining review.
Never been there.
I'll set it up. We'll do a group dining review there. You guys really have to have the experience. It's phenomenal.
Always wanted to go. It's the last place.
Okay. There you have it. So like I mentioned, Brown Derby, Hollywood Brown Derby over at Hollywood Studios. And this is my choice mainly. There are two reasons. Number one, the food is better than average or outstanding. Pretty much consistently. Very few times have I had a meal there where I'm like, okay, well, that left something to be desired. But also the backstory. The Hollywood Brown Derby was a real restaurant in Hollywood in like the golden era, the 40s and the 50s. Everybody who was anybody ate there. It was where I don't know if the idea originated with this restaurant, but it was certainly popularized by this restaurant of the celebrities having their characters drawn and hung on the wall. But what really, that the original Brown Derby is no longer there, but everything about this Brown Derby is faithfully recreated to the original, including the items on the menu, the style of service. They take their legacy seriously, that it is the last Brown Derby location. So they didn't just copy the idea. They really tried to recreate that restaurant, and they did it in a theme park, which is why I say arguably with Monsieur Paul, these two could easily be best theme park dining you will find anywhere, at least in the United States. So that's why I chose that for Hollywood Studios. Over at Animal Kingdom, does anybody have a comment on that?
I've never eaten there. I don't know. It sounds great.
It is. I will say it's actually, I think, my favorite place in Walt Disney World, period. Mm-hmm. I love it. All I had to do is go there and have the Cobb salad and the grapefruit cake, and that's all you need. And those, like, that's two of the signature items on the menu, and it's just so incredible. And if you want a taste of what the restaurant's like, but maybe it's a little bit hard on your wallet, then they do have the bar outside, mm-hmm. the lounge, that it's still pretty expensive. Like the two slider combo, that's still like $16. So definitely not on the cheap side. And that might fill up the most average people. I'm not an average person, but you get an idea for the type of food that they're serving, and they do their cocktails outside, which are also just excellent. So yeah, if you've been kind of hesitating because of the price, knowing that it's a signature restaurant, at least stop at the lounge outside and maybe grab an item or two. Like, I know they have the Cobb salad out there. It is superb.
I feel like Hollywood Studios, of any of the four theme parks, Brown Derby in Hollywood Studios is probably the biggest runaway. Like, that compared to the next best thing is a big dip.
It's also one of the most synonymous. Like, I think, like, kind of Cinderella Castle, eating inside Cinderella's royal table, that is, to me, like, that is the most Magic Kingdom you could get. Mm. Besides that, of all, like, the theme parks, there's nothing in Epcot that screams, like, this is, I know I'm in Epcot because I'm eating here. I think there's certain times where it's like, okay, Living Seas, that's only there. But Hollywood Brown Derby, if the whole theme of Hollywood Studios is Hollywood at a glamorous time and being immersed in it, nothing really kind of does it justice like Brown Derby. And even at Animal Kingdom, I don't think there's any restaurant that you feel, like, completely immersed in that park by eating there. But Brown Derby does that for me, so it's a special place.
Wait, you don't feel that way about Tiffin's in Animal Kingdom?
Not really. I Tiffin's is okay, but I'm not one of the people who's out there raving about Tiffin's. So it's okay. I've only had one good meal out of the about five times I've eaten there or Nomad Lounge. So,
well, now that we're talking about Animal Kingdom, Tiffin's didn't make my pick. I like Tiffin's, but I was so impressed with Satouli Canteen in Pandora. Quick service, but just completely innovative menu. Really well done, enjoyable, and quick service. I stand by, I think this is arguably the best quick service location at Disney World. Does anybody disagree with that?
No,
I don't think so.
Good.
But what's your favorite item on that list?
Oh, it's those cheeseburger...
The pods?
Yeah. Pods. Yeah. That taste exactly like a McDonald's cheeseburger. Which I know, like, oh, well, if you love McDonald's cheeseburgers, go have one. I thought that was just, I don't know, there was something about it. Because it's almost like a bao bun.
Yeah, it is.
But done with, you know, it's like a cheeseburger and a bao bun, and I love bao buns, and I love McDonald's cheeseburgers, and it was kind of like a bao bun and McDonald's cheeseburger had a baby, and that was it, and I like to eat their babies. So there, you have that to go with now.
Someone's
welcome.
Gonna pull that audio clip and put it by itself.
I like to eat their babies.
Monster.
Especially just after watching that lobster diner sketch from Saturday Night Live. All right. So Satouli Canteen is my choice for Animal Kingdom. Over at Disney Springs, this I had to really think about. But when I kind of clear my head and just go with my gut, it's Homecoming. And I will call it Homecoming, not Homecoming, because I don't live in the woods. But I thought we had the first review we did there was not good. I've been back there three or four times since then. We went and did a re-review and it was very good. And then I've been back two or three times since then and consistently very good, very good, very good. Service, food, it's nobody's idea of diet food. No one is going to lose weight eating this menu, especially not Art Smith. But it was really good, really, really good. So if I have to say, like, if I have to choose one place at Disney Springs, I think an honorable mention has to go to Morimoto Asia. I was really impressed with the meal we had there recently. But Homecoming, I think that's the best of the new breed of restaurants at Disney Springs.
I'm really impressed that almost every single time, I think all but one time I went with Rhino and Kylie, every single time I'm in there, Art Smith is always actually in there. Going to tables, checking on everything, making sure the food's always good. And that says a lot, because he could have easily just started this restaurant with his name and then said, you know what, I'm stepping out, I'm going to do other stuff in the way. But he does take so much pride in this restaurant and working with Disney on it that it really shows through. So while that first time that we ate there really wasn't that good, it was still pretty new, pretty early on in its age. And I think it's only gotten better in the fact that they are updating specialty items on their menu pretty regularly based on the season. That's also a nice change. They're not letting things get stale, but they're also not messing with the classics. So you're always going to have the fried chicken and donuts on there and the shrimp and grits and all the important stuff.
There's something that I like just from growing up in Florida and being a local, and I think mentioned it in one review, but you know, we were eating there, and because I'm a bit of a weirdo, I decided to ask our server like about the flooring that they use there, and she went on to describe not only is that wood from Florida, locally sourced wood, but every single thing, down to the artwork on the walls, is from UCF students. The chandeliers are, every single thing is local. And Art Smith is, you know, like North Florida born, I believe, or raised. And that was the entire point of it, was having something where the food is locally sourced, which is awesome. Sometimes when somebody says, oh, the food is farm to table or locally sourced, it is just a way to increase the price, and it's dubious or sketchy. Very few times is that advertised that I find, and the food actually has something to show for it. And Homecoming does. But everything in there is local, so the food is local, all the liquors are local, all of the wood and paneling are all local. Oh, everything exactly. Is Florida. And I just, it's not just that's a cool idea, but it's to the extent that they take it. That is the really impressive thing. And you don't find a lot of Florida pride in Orlando. It took me years to even gain any. And the fact that place is so, that, you know, it's showing people who travel here, like, okay, you know what, you're in Orlando and you're in the parks, but all of these things in this restaurant are things that this state has to offer. I really like that, and I enjoy it every time I go in. It's like a personal thing that I dig.
I'll just also say I really like the name. I know that Homecoming is kind of weird, but the Homecoming name comes from the fact that he did the Disney College Program, which is close to my heart because I did the college program, and now he's coming home to Walt Disney World, and I just think that's awesome. And last time I was there, he actually talked to me about his experience at the college program, because I just said, like, oh, I did, right, I know you did the college program. And so he told me about that. And so I just think that's cool.
It is. It's a great, you know, it's a great story. I also like the fact that it's all, you know, Florida sourced. Everything is Florida sourced. But at the end of the day, what makes a great restaurant, those are all great things. Mm-hmm. But if the food isn't good, what difference does it make? And the food is good. Food is really good. And I think it's evidenced by the fact that it's really hard to get a reservation there. This is a really popular place. And I think this is definitely one of the stars of the new breed of Disney restaurant that we've seen at Disney Springs. Which brings me to my final pick in my pick six here for resort restaurants. This should come as no surprise to anybody right now, because this is by far now my favorite place to eat at Disney property. I can't get enough of it. California Grill at the Contemporary. The new chef, Chef Patrick, right? Mm-hmm. Chef Patrick? Just raised the bar on this restaurant. I mean, it was always good. But I've eaten there three times in the last month. Three times in the last month. I can't say that about any other Disney restaurant. I go out of my way now because I have to have the Gouda mac and cheese. I have to have that three cheese flatbread pizza he makes for me and that tamarind barbecue sauce on the filet. The last time I was there, I didn't get that. I got the ribeye, which was very good, but it was not as good as that that filet. I think the filet with the tamarind barbecue sauce is the best steak on Disney property.
Well, they last time I was there, I mentioned it to you, they have the best bison that I've ever had. And I've described this to like 15 people since I had that meal because I mean, it was extraordinary. And I like rare foods, and this thing was practically seared. It was like, imagine like a bison fillet kind of thing. It was like tender, but very flavorful, but not like punch you in the face flavorful. But yeah, I mean,
was it gamey though?
No, I mean, the thing is, I like gamey meat. I like bison, but this, I could have served this to just about any single person I know, and they would have loved it. I know a lot of people aren't huge bison fans or anything like that. I think this dish would convert a lot of people, but you're not going to get that quality most places. But I was just very, very surprised by it, that I've been talking like nonstop about it since I had it. So just kudos to them.
I don't want to sound like a broken record because we say this a lot when we talk about California Grill, but that location is spectacular, and Disney could have easily just put any old chef up there and any old servers or whatever, and people would still go up there just for the views, but they don't, and I think that's awesome. And we've touched on that 1,000 times, but I think it's important to just say it again.
Whether Disney considers it their flagship restaurant or not, it is. It is their flagship restaurant, and that it is treated with the respect that Steve just mentioned, that it doesn't rest on its view. Most spectacular view in the world. Just especially for fireworks. It's incredible. But I'm going to tell you, they don't rest on that. The food is, and they're constantly challenging themselves. They're constantly changing things up. Just in the last month, just mentioned, I've been there 3 times in the last month. Each time there's been something changed, something has changed on the menu. So the menu stays dynamic based on what's fresh, what's available, things like that. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. So those are my pick. Is that what we're calling this, pick six?
I'm not sure if we have the copyright to do it, but we can.
Okay. My 6 favorites. Liberty Tree Tavern at the Magic Kingdom, Monsieur Paul at Epcot, Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios, the Thule Canteen at Animal Kingdom, Homecoming at Disney Springs, and California Grill at the Contemporary. So that will do it for this week's episode of the Disney Dining Show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you again next week. Have a good one.